I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we open our hearts to God's Word together this morning. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Lord, we believe that you are a living God. And we believe, Lord, that you still speak. I ask, Father, that you would speak to us today. Lord, that you would impart wisdom to us and help us, Lord, to navigate through this life safely, but Lord, not only safely, Lord, but successfully to accomplish all that you have for us, that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series simply titled, The Key to a Happy Life. There really is a key. And as I said, it's not a quick fix. It's not the key to a trouble-free life. I want you to hear that. But there is a key to a happy life. Proverbs 3 and 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 17 and 18 of that chapter, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. There's always going to be struggles, always going to be difficulties and sometimes even heartaches in this life, but I can tell you the choices that we make throughout our lives will determine much of the outcome of our life. It's not all luck, it's not all fate, it's not just misfortune, no. So much of the outcome of our life is determined by the choices that we make. You know, I want to say this real clearly this morning. We all make mistakes. We all, listen, being a Christian, this is what being a Christian is that we know that we're not perfect. We know that we need God's forgiveness. We know that every one of us has made wrong choices, and we desperately need God's mercy and grace. And I want to get this out here because you know, there's such a tendency for us to fall into pride. And by the way, you know, religious pride is the worst kind. So in no way does anybody need to take the idea or the attitude from this message that because I'm wise, my life is better than yours. Listen, that's the last thing that this world needs. There's been too much of that. And by the way, that attitude will itself bring you to destruction, because the Bible says pride goes before destruction. So I want you to understand, this is not about pride and saying, I'm smarter and I make better choices and so my life is better than somebody else's. No, in fact, for us to be able to truly have the wisdom of God, we have to be humble. Because we're not talking about how smart we are. No, we're talking about how wise our Heavenly Father is. And so when we ask God for wisdom, when we talk about a key to a happy life, we're talking about God's wisdom that can only be imparted to us when we are truly humble before God. So I encourage you this morning, and I can speak from experience. We all make lots of mistakes. But what we want to do is to do our best to make wise choices, to do our very best to seek the wisdom of God and to live it out in our life. Because I can assure you, the choices that you make have everything to do with the result of your life. One older pastor said, you don't need a word of knowledge to tell how people's lives are going to turn out. He said, you can tell just by looking at the choices that they make. But people will want you to pray that they have different results than their decisions dictate. And I can say amen to that. It's so common and so often that we make foolish choices and then we want to pray that we get a different outcome. And the Bible tells us very plainly in Galatians chapter 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And when we've made lots of bad choices and decisions, there's a harvest that comes from those choices and decisions. And so I want you to understand this morning how important it is. I think one of the deceptions that people struggle with is that it seems like sometimes we and others get away with bad choices and decisions, at least for a time. But sooner or later, foolish choices will bring you trouble, extra trouble. You know, all of us have experienced some of that. We've had some regrets for decisions and choices that we've made. If you live very long, you've had the opportunity to look back on some things that you wished you would have chosen differently. Maybe a job you shouldn't have taken or a job you shouldn't have quit. Maybe a relationship you shouldn't have gotten involved in, a date you shouldn't have gone on, or maybe a purchase that you shouldn't have made. Sometimes maybe others told us we were being foolish, but we thought we knew what we were doing. Sometimes we said, well, I'm following my heart, and you know, that's what all the movies say to do. And you know, if they meant by that following your spirit, well, that would probably be a good thing. But they're really referring to your feelings, and I'm just telling you, it'll get you in trouble. It's amazing how often, though, that when we've made wrong mistakes, we repeat those wrong mistakes. One time when I pastored a small church in a rural area, there was a family that was visiting one of our families there and from out of town, and they had a teenage boy who came to church and then came on a church outing that we had. And this young man had had surgery on his skull, and his head was shaved, and he had a huge scar that went all around the side of his head. And he had stood up in the back of a pickup and fallen out. And so this is recent. It hadn't been very long. His head is still pretty much shaved and the scar is real obvious. And we were out in somebody's pasture for a church outing, and we got in the back of a Jeep, and this young man stood up to ride in the back of the Jeep. I said, sit down. But you know what? A lot of us have done the same kinds of things when it comes to decisions about finances. We made a bad choice, we got a bad result, and we make the same kind of choice again. A lot of us have made the same kind of foolish decisions about relationships, and then we make another one and another one. And I'm just telling you that we got to do something about the decision process. If you keep the same decision process, you'll keep making the same foolish kinds of decisions. So this message is not a quick fix this morning, but we want to learn to make wise choices. I've said all along, the key to a happy life is wisdom, because when we have wisdom, we make wise choices. So how do we make those wise choices? Well, I just want to say that all of the messages in this series will help you make wise choices, but there are a few simple things that I want to talk about this morning and just point out to you. The first step in making a wise choice is to realize that it matters. Because I'm telling you, there is a lot of this mentality and attitude that life is just luck, that life just happens. But I'm telling you that the choices you make really do make a difference in where you end up in life. See, life is like a journey. And to a great degree, the choices that you make are going to determine where you end up. You know, when you go on a trip, you make decisions in which route that you will go. And if you turn and go this way, you end up one place. And if you turn and go this way, you end up somewhere totally different. And I'm just telling you that the choices you make determine where you end up. Now, just like a trip, you can take a detour, you can head the wrong direction, and you can reroute your trip to get back to where you should be. But I'm just telling you, the choices that you make will take you somewhere. It is important where you end up, and it's important the choices that you make along the way. And sometimes you just gotta do a U-turn. But the choices you make will determine if you end up in pleasantness and peace. We read that in Proverbs 3 just a few moments ago, that wisdom will take us to a place of pleasantness and peace. And I'm telling you, your choices will determine whether or not you end up in that place. It will determine whether or not you end up in a place where you are fulfilled and happy. You don't have any control over where you're born. You don't have much control over the first few years of your life. They are largely dictated to you by your environment. But as we age, as we get older, then we begin to experience this reality that the choices we make determine much of our life. And the older we get, the more we see that our choices have determined where we are in life in regard to our finances, our health, our family relationships, even our walk with God. You got to get this. Realize that your choices really do matter. There's some key decisions that we make in life that are very obvious, big choices that we make that have a huge impact on our life. Well, the biggest decision, the most important decision you could ever make is to choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen? To make that decision that you are going to serve God and follow Him, to commit your life to Him, that changes everything. It even changes your eternity. It changes all of your relationships. It changes how you handle money. It changes how you treat people. It changes everything. My opinion is that the second biggest decision that you will ever make is whether or not and who you marry. Now, you can talk about all kinds of other real spiritual things, but I'm just telling you who you marry, whether or not, and who you marry is going to impact every part of your life. Because when you get married, two become one. You know, the world doesn't really like that statement. They've just kind of watered down the whole idea of marriage. You know, it's kind of a come and go thing. But biblically and scripturally, we understand that marriage is a big deal because two become one. Huge decision that you make in your life. Next to the decision to receive Jesus, it's the biggest decision with the biggest outcome and result in your life. We make big decisions about a career, a vocation. And I want you to know it matters to God. We make decisions about having children or how many children. We make decisions about going to school and involvement in ministry. Make decisions about where you live, buying a house or some other big purchase. But there's all kinds of important decisions. They're important to God. And I just want to say one last time, you need to know that it matters how you choose. Second thing, to choose wisely, you need to choose intentionally. You need to make your choices deliberately. You see, there's a lot of people in this world, and if we don't watch ourselves, we'll fall into this mentality that we just kind of make choices by default. We just kind of let life happen to us rather than being proactive and making a real decision. You see, if we don't ever plan, we just end up kind of stumbling through life. And this is where people end up saying things like, well, my life is just a product of my environment. But you see, it doesn't have to be that way. Life doesn't just happen to us. No, instead, when we intentionally choose, then our life ends up being, to a great degree, a product of our choices. We got to that place of pleasantness because by the grace of God, we made some right choices. We chose where we wanted to go in life. See, nobody plans to fail. Nobody chooses destruction intentionally. But a lot of the time, it's just poor planning that gets people into trouble. They live a haphazard life, and yet they expect things to somehow turn out good. Doesn't really make sense. But one of the most common ways to make a bad choice is by default, just to never really make a decision, not really to take control, but instead just kind of leave your life drifting. People that don't make a decision, I'm telling you, they're always making the wrong one, because we need to be deliberate about what we choose. Be proactive in making wise choices. Your life is not an accident. It's not an accident to God, and you shouldn't live by accident. No, God has a plan for your life, and so you need to understand what that plan is, and you need to make wise choices. We read this previously. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk wisely or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." In the NIV, it says, "Be very careful how you live." So don't live a haphazard life, but choose like it matters. You know, it's amazing how God gives us this free will, and He expects us to choose. In fact, it's really strange to me. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I set before you blessings and curses. It's like, choose. He says, I put before you life and death. And then He tells us which one to choose. He says, choose life. But you have to choose. And you know what? That's really the way that so much of it in life, it comes down to that we have a choice. We can choose life or we can choose death, but I'm telling you, you have to intentionally choose. You got to make up your mind. Don't just allow things to happen to you by default. Let me just give you an example that I think will make sense to our young people, and well, a lot of us have been there and done that. Not everybody needs to go to college. And I want you to understand that you can make a great living not going to college. And maybe God doesn't want you to go to college. So I want that to be very clear. But if you don't go to college, Let it be because you decided not to go to college. But you know what happens to a lot of people? They just never really made the decision. It just never really came to a place, you know, they didn't go to college because they just never decided. Decide. Make a decision. Be intentional about it. Don't just let life happen to you where you look back on your life and say, well, you know, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that and I should have done that. But you never decided. You were never intentional about it. I'm telling you, when people are not intentional about their decisions, they almost always make the wrong choice because they're just living by default. So choose intentionally. Third, think through the end result and the consequences of your decision. You know, sometimes we just need to ask ourselves. I told you that our choices take us down a road. Well, we need to ask ourselves, this choice, where will this lead? What is this going to look like when I reach my destination down this road? You know, in this world we live in, thinking through the implications of your choices, well, it's just not the cool thing. No, the cool thing is to be impulsive. I want you to think about this. Contrary to the modus operandi of a lot of churches, Jesus did not try to get people to impulsively follow him. Some of you are thinking real hard right now. I'm just telling you, Jesus did not try to emotionally stir up the people and get people to follow him. He didn't go for an impulsive decision. In fact, he said, anybody that wants to follow me, if anybody would be my disciple, let him count the cost. See, Jesus actually wanted people to think about it, to consider what it was going to cost them. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time, if we would look at our decisions and say, what is this going to be like down the road? Sometimes we need to say, what is this going to cost? Sometimes it costs money when you make a decision, right? Oh, but there are bigger things to consider when you count the cost than just money. There's all kinds of cost that can be involved in making a decision. Some of you might make a decision to go back to school. That may be God's plan for you, but I can assure you, you need to count the cost. You need to consider, what is this going to mean in my life? You may decide to take a second job, but maybe you feel like that's a way that God wants to bless your family with income, and so you're going to take a second job. Well, you need to consider the cost. There are other implications. There are other things involved. And here's my point. I don't want to keep going on about it, but I'm just telling you, you need to think through the end results. Remember the Apostle Paul, when he was through in this world, he said, I have finished my course. You see, he got to his destination. And you need to think about, when you make choices, is this helping me on my course? Is this helping me reach my goal? And am I going to end up where I want to? Fourth, avoid quick decisions whenever possible. You know what? I've found that when people make a quick decision, a snap judgment, that so often they make the wrong choice. And I hear things in this world like, oh, well, just go with your first instinct. That's usually the right thing. No, it's not. I'm telling you, in my own life and watching other people, when they make quick decisions, most of the time they miss it. It's so often they regret a quick decision. A lot of the most difficult choices that we make in life, I'm telling you, it would help if we decided in advance. Not when you're in a crisis situation, not when you're swept away with emotion, and not when you feel pressured, but instead, you decide in advance what you would do in a certain situation. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." Now I want you to hear this. The integrity of the upright will guide them. In other words, their convictions, the principles that they live by, will guide them. You need to have certain principles and convictions based on the Word of God that you live by every day. And you know what? That makes a whole lot of decisions for you. You decide in advance what you're going to do, and you live by those principles. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. See, you decide in advance whether or not you're going to use a credit card, and if you are, how you're going to use it. Because I can tell you that a whole lot of people get themselves in trouble by impulsive decisions, impulsive purchases. See, it's wise for you to avoid that temptation just by deciding if and how you will use a credit card. What kind of purchases that you're willing to make with a credit card. And if you do make purchases, how you're going to pay it off. I'll just tell you, I'll be a little bit transparent. But before I do, let me say this very clearly. Some people don't need to have a credit card. Some people, it is a stumbling block to them, and you shouldn't use one. Now, that being said, I hope I'm not going to be a stumbling block to you, but I'm just telling you, I use one because I get free stuff. I get points to fly and go on vacation. Carmen and I used a card one time. We got over $5,000 off on as a rebate on a car, but we use it, and this is how we use it. We just use it for a convenience and for the points. We have never, ever used it for credit. Not ever, ever, ever. We don't use a credit card for credit. We pay it off at the end of the month. Now, I'm just telling you, that's a decision that we make. It's settled, and we don't violate that. It is a matter of principle for us. And here's my point. Not that you do it like us, but that you live by certain principles. You decide ahead of time what you're going to do, how you're going to do that. You see, Josh Neal was talking about the tithe this morning. You decide ahead of time, we're going to tithe. It's not, well, let's see how it goes this month. No, you have integrity. You have principles that you live by. The decision is already made. We don't make a decision every week whether or not we're going to tithe. No, we've already made that decision. You need to prayerfully determine if you're going to, young people, single adults, if you're going to get married someday, you need to have certain principles that you live by. In other words, the kind of person that you marry. Now, I want you to understand, obviously, you're going to have to pray and seek God when you find somebody that you think you might marry. But I want to tell you, you do a whole lot of the weeding out process by already having some convictions that you live by. What are you looking for in this spouse? Some of you, you're thinking of physical characteristics right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you're looking for somebody that loves God with all their heart, somebody that goes to church every Sunday, somebody that is spirit-filled. And if they don't fit that criteria, you've already made that choice. It doesn't matter how hot they are. I'm just telling you, this is how you can avoid a quick decision. You decide some things in advance. You've already made up your mind. Set boundaries for yourself. It will help you. Daniel was a man of integrity. In fact, whenever you talk about integrity, I always think of Daniel. He had three friends who were chosen to serve in the king's palace, and they were given the king's meat and wine, but they refused to take it because, as a matter of personal conviction and principle, it was a decision that they had already made in advance because there were certain things that they did and didn't do. You see, it ought to be a decision that you make in advance of whether or not you're going to drink. You go to a family wedding and they have some champagne and they're ready to toast. It ought to be a decision that you have already made what you would do in that situation. I'm just telling you, it helps when you make decisions in advance by conviction and principle rather than allowing yourself to make decisions on the fly by the seat of your pants. That's no way to live life. That's no way to make a wise choice. No, as much as possible, you make choices ahead of time. And when you can't decide something ahead of time, there is often still a way to not make a quick decision. And I understand. I want to clarify. I know sometimes you have to make a quick decision. But as much as possible, avoid a quick decision. Sometimes you just need to wait. And you know, it's a real common thing in this world, especially when you're trying to buy something, for you to feel pressured, like, hey, if you don't get it now, you're going to miss out. But I'm just telling you, whenever possible, wait. It's amazing how sometimes clarity will come just by sleeping on it. You give the emotion of the moment time to subside so that then you can see things a little bit more objectively. You know, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. And sometimes if we'll just back away from a situation and just say, God, I'm waiting. I need your help in making this decision. But if you can, avoid making a quick decision. When you step back and you wait, it gives you time to pray. And it gives you time to seek counsel. And sometimes it gives you time to put your emotions in perspective. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. If you're going to make a wise choice, you got to keep your emotions in perspective. A lot of dumb decisions are made because of an emotional moment. We get upset about something, or maybe we get excited about something. But when we make a decision in an emotional moment, it can be one of the greatest pitfalls. Most people in our country, in our society, allow emotion to run their life, to dictate their life. And I'm telling you, if we're going to choose wisely, we have to make choices that many times maybe don't go along with what we feel at the moment. Listen to this from Proverbs 29:11. Remember, Proverbs, Solomon tells us at the beginning of the book that this book was written to give us wisdom. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings. In other words, he just lets his feelings dictate. He just lets his feelings direct his life. But a wise man holds them back. I know this is going against the grain of our culture that says you are what you feel. If it feels good, do it. Just go with your heart. Oh, that sounds good. Well, yeah. Don't try to figure it out. Just go with your heart. The advice of Hollywood. You know what you get if you live by the advice of Hollywood? You get the results of Hollywood. Four marriages and bankrupt and unhappy and taking drugs. Don't listen to the advice of Hollywood. Listen to the scripture. Listen to the word of God. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Do you believe that? Some of you are not sure. You're thinking, well, I don't know. Maybe the Bible's wrong about that one because that doesn't sound right to me. We're so indoctrinated with this silly baloney in our culture. Do you know the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful? You can't just go by how you feel. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. When you're emotional, I'm telling you, it can create such a fog in the decision process. And so when you're emotional, one of the wisest things you can do is rather than making an emotional decision, you do what we talked about a minute ago. You step back. You wait. Give it time. Let the dust settle. One of the wise things you can do, something that we've talked about a lot in this series, is you seek wise counsel. You see, when you're emotionally involved in a situation, whether good or bad emotion, when you're emotionally involved in a situation, it's hard to be objective. So you find a godly person who is not emotionally involved in the situation that can give you godly counsel. When you're in an emotional situation, always pray. And last, when you're in an emotional situation, always go by your convictions. Isn't it amazing how you can have convictions about something, but in a moment, a heated moment, maybe a passionate moment, those convictions can all of a sudden not seem so clear? I'm just telling you, no matter what your emotions are telling you, you stick to your integrity. You stick to your convictions. Do not make a decision in an emotional moment. So often you will regret it. Sixth, know when you don't know. Not going to take long here, but you know what? All of us have areas of life where we don't have the wisdom. We don't have the knowledge. Maybe we don't have the education, the training in a certain area. You need to know when you don't know. And what do you do when you don't know? Well, you pray. You seek godly counsel. But you have to be willing to say, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to seek counsel. I'm going to look for answers in the scripture. But know when you don't know. Sometimes it's necessary to get help on a tax return. Well, that costs money. It might. But it can cost you a whole lot more if you don't get help. Carmen and I have been, since we got our new place, we've been wanting to get some horses. And we had horses years ago before we moved back to Fort Worth. But it's been a long, long time. And just, you know, we felt kind of out of touch almost. And so we've been looking and looking for really gentle horses. But one of the things that we've done several times is we've sought counsel. We have somebody that we go to and we say, hey, what do you think about this? You know why? Because we don't know. And when you don't know, you need to, here's the wise thing. You want to make wise choices? Know when you don't know. Two's better than one. Oh, we have strength from one another. And you know, it's one of the things about being part of a body of believers. If you don't know, there's probably somebody here that does. Know when you don't know. Last, seventh, if you haven't heard anything else that I've said this morning, I hope that you'll listen now. This one trumps everything else. Find out what God wants. Find out what God wants. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 in the NIV says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now he goes on in verse 18, 19, and 20 to talk about a specific thing. But the principle here applies to all of life. Don't be foolish, but find out what the Lord's will is. Let me put that in a different vernacular that we really need to see it this way. What is the Lord's will? Well, that's what he wants. That's what God wants. See, when the Bible says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, see, that's what God wants. God wants all people to come to repentance. Some people kind of get this weird thing about the will of God, but I'm just telling you, the will of God is what God wants. And what does God want in this situation, in this decision, this choice in your life? Do not make the mistake of thinking that God doesn't care. Now, if you're trying to decide if you're going to have a hamburger or a chicken sandwich, you know what? I don't know if you need to seek God about that. Probably not. And if you're in the line in front of me at the restaurant, could you try to make that decision in advance like we talked about earlier? But I just want you to understand this, though. Listen, the decisions we make in life, I'm talking about real decisions, God does care. So how foolish would it be for us to just do what we want? And if we are a true Christian, where we have made Jesus not just our Savior, but our Lord, then we should always submit our lives to Him. We talked about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So we always defer to Him. We always say, Lord, what do you want? This never gets to the place where we're just, you know, by logic, we're going to make the wise choice. No, we always leave it to the Lord because it doesn't. Some of the choices we make may look foolish to the world, but when we do what God wants, well, it always turns out good. Let me tell you how you get to that pleasant place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. How do you get there? The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's directing my life. He's the one ultimately that is determining the choices that I make. Not my emotions. Not just what I want, not the spur of the moment. No, God is the one who's in charge of my life, and I want to please Him in everything that I do. Ephesians 5:10 says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Did you know Jesus said, I always do what pleases Him. And Jesus is in a place of great joy. It was for the joy set before Him that He endured the cross. I'm telling you, Jesus is the ultimate victor. Jesus is absolutely successful. And I'm just telling you, if you want your life to turn out right, ask this, Lord, what do you want? what would please you. We talked about how important it is that we pray and ask God for wisdom. And I'm just telling you, you see, we need to always do that. Sometimes, you know, we struggle with, well, Lord, what do you want? And I just want to remind you that so much of it is laid out for us in the Bible. That so much of it shouldn't be this big question mark. No, we should study the scriptures and we should be finding out what God wants. Because I'm telling you, He has written out His will for us. But if you come to a crossroad in life that the scripture doesn't specifically speak to, and maybe you don't see exactly what you're supposed to do in this situation, you pray and you seek God and you ask God. But it's so critical that your heart is truly open to God, that you are willing to do whatever He says. Because the wise choice is always what the Lord wants. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to the book of James. And I'm going to close with this. I feel like I need to address this. You know what? We all have times when we just want to do what we want to do. It's just a common attitude. In our culture, it's huge. I want to do what I want to do. It's my life and I can do what I want. Yes, you can. And you will live with the results. Now, what does the fool say? I don't care. But if we're wise, we'll take heed to the scripture. In James chapter 1, beginning from verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You see, there's times when your desires are going to take you in the wrong direction. And you're going to say, but this is what I want. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I just want you to see that when we just do it our way, when we just choose and do what we want instead of turning our life over to God and allowing Him to have His way, all those choices always end up with the wrong result. It always takes us to a place we didn't want to go. And so I encourage you, submit your life to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know what You want. I want to make the right choice. I want to please You in every choice, every decision I make. Stand with me, and prayer partners, would you go ahead and come? Father, I just thank You for Your word to us this morning. I thank You, Lord, that by Your Spirit, Lord, and through Your word, Lord, that You can show us the way, that You can lead and guide us and give direction, Lord, in the most difficult choices of life. I pray, Father, that every person in this building today, Lord, would just have clarity to know which way to go. Oh, Father, I pray that every person in this building would have hope, Lord, that from this day forward, they can make the right choices. They can pursue that path of peace. And Father, I just ask for Your touch upon each and every life here, that the world will see and know that our God is a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning as we close this service, I encourage you, our prayer partners are here to pray with you about any need that you may have. Some of you, you may need prayer about some past decisions, maybe some consequences that you're living with. I want to tell you, God is merciful. God is gracious, and He is a miracle-working God, and He can help you get it turned around and get headed back the right direction. Some of you here this morning, you're facing some big choices. This is a great time for you to come for prayer and ask somebody to pray and believe God with you for wisdom and direction. Some of you, you need to make that most important decision to truly put Jesus first in your life. I'm not talking about calling yourself a Christian. I'm not even talking about going to church. I'm talking about letting Jesus be the Lord of your life. That you can honestly say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. But for whatever reason you might need prayer this morning, I encourage you to come and let God have His way in your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.